There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 542. December 22nd, 2011. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by Google Ads. Google Ads get you the stuff you want, need, desire, have to have. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Vitantonio Liuzzi says, I have a contract. Sutil still has a shot at Williams. And Hans-Harald Frentzen still very bitter inside. And of course, we have a doozy of a Motorsports Mondial with the King. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers and yourself.
Well, I'm great. It's the holidays. Shopping is hectic. And really, this whole the whole Bay Area is a hive of busy, happy bees.
Busy bees.
It's really true. I mean, the parking lots are full. The highways are full with shoppers. I'm really glad that I don't do all that.
You just drive around watching them.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty hectic, but no, I just stay home and
watch the traffic cameras on.
I do,
on the internet.
I read up on some of this hilarious news that I see come down the wire. And the best news, of course, is once again, the French Grand Prix is back in the limelight. Believe it or not, Steve, I couldn't believe it, but French officials are expected to make an announcement probably around February of 2012 to try to get the F1 calendar with a French Grand Prix. Gilles Dufigneau, the man who's leading the task team to set up and revive the French Grand Prix, says discussions have progressed well and there will be a decision no later than February. So we'll see what happens. I think, of course, we're waiting for and looking at a possibility of using Paul Ricard, which is owned by Bernie Eccleston, which means he could pay himself the fee and everybody would be happy.
No, but according to Bernie, Europe's dead.
I know, Europe is dead.
What was that line about if he was in discussions with the French about a Grand Prix?
I don't know, but we used to have a Grand Prix in France. And we don't anymore. I think it's a big bummer.
Well, they were going to do it in Disneyland's parking lot.
Well, you know, they talked about that for a long, long time, but it just never materialized. You know, there's such great tracks, and Paul Ricard is certainly a nice one. It just needs more infrastructure, grandstands, and what have you. And you
know, it's not really set up. It's more of set up as more of a test track.
It is a test track, but still, with a little money, that it can become a glorious and wonderful.
So in other words, Bernie's going to get someone to pay to upgrade his track for him?
Correct.
So he can turn around and sell it at a bigger profit?
Correct.
Right now?
Correct. That's how it works. Anyway, Vitantonio Liuzzi says he's got a contract with HRT, and he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have contracts. I think there's a guy on the grid this past year named Nick Heidfeld who had a contract.
Yes, I think Kimi Raikkonen had a contract for 2010, and that didn't happen. Yeah,
contract does not guarantee you that you're actually going to sit in the seat.
Yes,
and guarantees you're going to get paid.
I feel sorry for Vitantonio Liuzzi, but he does insist that he's got a long-term HRT contract, and apparently this is a long-term deal, which should keep him at HRT until 2012.
Or through 2012, yeah.
Through 2012. I hate to break the news to Vitantonio, but that means nothing And if you're not bringing money, because one thing Adrian Sutil does, even though I don't see him going to HRT, he's got Medion computer money.
Right.
There's Jaime Alguacil, who HRT says are not interested in, but he is Spanish, and this is a very Spanish-based team.
Right.
With now Pedro De La Rosa confirmed as driver number uno. So I'm not sure, but Vitantonio is concerned a little bit.
Yeah, he wouldn't be saying that if he weren't worried.
Of course not. But there are other seats opened up. I think Jarno Trulli is still questionable. I don't know. But I hate to say it to Vitantonio that contracts are absolutely meaningless. Now, Adrian Sutil, there are some interesting rumors coming out about him. Obviously, we have to, you know, he's already out of Force India. We've got Hulkenberg and Paul DeRista signed for 2012. Sutil has been fired. I would assume that he would be...
Yeah, I was thinking that our friend at Force India must have heard the podcast last week, because literally, as soon as it gets the air, he made the announcement.
Exactly. So, yeah, we pushed Vijay just... towards the end.
Exactly.
There.
Get him off the stick.
But Adrian Sutil, some interesting rumors. I'm not sure. And, you know, a lot of these rumors are really set forth by management and the way an agent works within the confines of the Formula One circus.
Right.
But apparently there are some rumors that he's hoping to go to Williams just for 1 year so he can jump to Ferrari and replace Felipe Massa the year afterwards. And it's interesting because last month, Robert Kubica was the rumor to go to Ferrari for 2013. So I don't know what Adrian is thinking. It would be interesting.
You know, Adrian, if you really want a seat, what you should be looking to do is go to Williams for a year and then go to Mercedes
with his
people the following year.
When Michael Schumacher retires.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's funny how that particular seat hasn't come up much in the news as far as people looking to get themselves lined up to get into it.
Well, the other thing is we're assuming Rubinho is out.
Right.
And in the end, he really hasn't been let go.
Not completely.
No, he's still a Williams driver as far as I'm concerned until, I guess, December 31st.
Yeah.
Let's not jump to conclusions here. They might just go ahead and keep Rubinho, which would really throw...
Really kind of sew up a lot of seats real quick.
It would, but I think the biggest problem is Rubinho, he'll drive for cheap, but he doesn't bring any money.
Right.
And Sutil does, and Williams needs money.
Right.
And Sutil, I think, would do just as good of a job as Rubinho.
I think he'd actually do a little bit better, because I think he's a little hungrier. If he's thinking that he wants one of the opening seats at the more premier teams the following year, he's really got to look good to put himself in line for those.
Right. Sutil's manager says Williams is very interested, not only because of his Medion sponsor money. In the second half of the season, Sutil did a lot of good for his reputation. Of course, the option for Ferrari in 2013 is a real one, and that's why he only wants to sign for 1 year at Williams. I still believe that we're jumping to conclusions, and we'll see if Adrian Sutil actually gets that position. Of course, Hans-Harald Frentzen, when he's in the news, everybody stops and listens, Stephen, because, you know, he's so machismo.
Oh.
But HHF had some comments. Of course, he'll be driving in that new series, the IRL, and of course, I mean the Indian Racing League, Stephen.
Oh.
He was commenting. Now, remember a couple weeks ago, we had Joss, the boss,
Verstappen,
criticizing Schumacher for cheating back in the 90s. It was just completely out of control.
Yeah, as if he was the only one.
And obviously, you know, Joss was having a bad day. And Schumacher is a perfectly good way to vent.
Yeah.
Well, Hans-Harald Frentzen has gone out criticizing Schumacher's performance in 2011 and saying that as you grow older, you tend to hesitate and become indecisive whether or not to push and take risk. You lose precious tenths of a second. Michael is at that stage in his career. I think I took the wrong decisions while Michael took the right ones, and that's why he's a winner and I'm a loser. In 94, I joined Sauber, and later that year, I had an offer from Williams as a replacement for Ayrton Senna. I rejected the offer as Sauber had given me a break into Formula One, and I felt a certain amount of loyalty to Petter Sauber. But when I eventually joined Williams in 1997, things had changed, and the boat had sailed.
Yep.
So there you go. And, of course, Hans-Harald Frentzen retired in 2003. And you know what? I liked Hans-Harald Frentzen. I thought he was a decent driver. The biggest problem he has is Schumacher married his old girlfriend. So, you know, you're just going to have to get over it, my friend. You're just going to have to get over it. BBC, Martin Brundle will be going to Sky, and I stream on BBC with the help of a UK proxy. But now we'll see what's going to happen, because things are going to be changing, and half of the year is going to be on the BBC, and then Sky takes over. But they're pretty pumped up about it, and they keep, I guess they had to testify the reasoning behind this whole deal, because really BBC just got the contract from ITV, what, just a couple years ago?
It was just the second year.
So there you have it. They say, we know that Formula One has only fairly recently come back to BBC. It has been very popular on the BBC. We know that Formula One fans ideally do not want Formula One to be interrupted by advertising because of the character of the sport. Of course, for the subset of Formula One fans who do not have Sky subscriptions, would they ideally like Formula One to go entirely behind a paywall? I believe that the arrangements we have put together are very good value to the license payer, and the experience of Formula One on the BBC will still be very rich. The first Grand Prix next season, when this new arrangement starts, the Australian Grand Prix will be live on Sky in the very early hours of the morning. There will be a 75-minute highlights package in peak time on the BBC. We would expect to reach many more people than the live coverage. You know what I say to that? Poppycock! Bull manure. Many people get up to watch the races live. Because of the speed of news travel today, if you just wait, you're going to find out.
Right.
Possibly by a little bird whispering it in your ear. Because that bird happens to be on the internet. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I'm hoping that I can, you know, Sky will be streaming this on their website, and I'm hoping I can just go right over to Sky and do the deed.
Right.
Big changes, especially for the folk in the UK. Moving on, it's funny. You know, remember last week I said how Raikkonen is not going to have any problems, give him 10 minutes, and he'll just be up to speed in the car?
Right.
Well, guess what? Raikkonen says the same thing. He says, quote, when I went to rallying, when I tried NASCAR, there were many new things to learn, but with Formula One, I feel like I'm going home. I can't wait to get behind the wheel. I'm more motivated than ever, and I don't even think that I've lost any speed. Getting on top of the tires will be the hardest thing, of course, but I'm totally, totally not worried. My two visits to Enstone have been great. I went to the Christmas party, we drank a lot of vodka, and we had a lot of fun. So there you have it. I'm with Raikkonen.
Did you add that last sentence?
Huh? What? Oh, no. I never add sentences. I report the news, Steve. But no, there you have it. I think Raikkonen is absolutely correct.
Did you copy his bum?
He's in tip-top physical condition. And I think, you know, doing this other racing stuff gives you an edge. I mean, it gives you...
Well, clear your head.
And it clears your head.
And you get that, it's a different feel. Maybe you pick up a nuance that you were missing.
Absolutely, absolutely. These little idiosyncrasies that you could fine-tune, that you could put into Formula One. I think it's going to be great. And still, I bet you $10, one day, testing the tires in the car, he'll be fine. And apparently, I believe that they're going to give him a two-year-old Renault in January to do a little sneaky testing and to get to grips. Get to grips with the tires. I think the tires are the biggest thing.
Yeah. The Pirelli is a completely different performance envelope than the Bridgestones were.
Correct. And they could be, Pirelli has said that they're going to try to mix it up even more and make it even more exciting. And Martin Whitmarsh was confirming that concept in making everybody...
Let's bring back another tire supplier. That made it really interesting.
Yeah? You think Michelin will come back, Steve?
Probably not now.
No, I don't think so.
If I pissed him off.
But still, very exciting. And of course, it's quiet. The big news for me was Fernando Alonso. The divorce is final. La mujer has been moved out of the house.
We remain friends.
But they remain friends, which is really boring. You know, why can't, I want to see bitterness. I want to, you know, I like, that's why I like the Hans-Harald Frentzen story, the Verstappen story. That's good, bitter stuff. This kissy-huggy stuff is not good news for me.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll get some pictures of them fighting with some hair pulling and her trimming his eyebrows in the middle of the night.
Or her going after his Formula One car with a sledgehammer?
Something like that. No, with a 9-iron. Thank you very much. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got an outstanding motorsports mondial. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Mecca of Speed, your source for champ car and road racing, photography, desktops, interviews, and editorials. Our goal is to bring you the full spectrum of motorsports, including art, hand-built die-cast cases, racing personalities, and answers to the not-so-common questions. We invite all road racing enthusiasts to join our forum for both enthusiastic debates and light-hearted insights on the world of racing. Don't be a wanker. Turn right. Mecca of Speed.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards. Achy breaky heart Fernando. Conway on his way to Texas. French Grand Prix on its way to Paul Ricard. And California kid gets a ride with Roger Penske, and that's a racing dream come true. First, numero uno. After 5 years of that's amore, Nando and wife Raquel are now saying adios to each other and claiming we can still be friends, and I hear what you say about that. They issued a joint statement to avoid media mudslinging, which I think is a very good idea, but rumors of a divorce had surfaced in 2009 also. Raquel is a rock singer and met Nando on a radio show in Spain. Not sure if he was caller number 5, and we can look into that. They want the media to respect their privacy, which we shall do at F1 Weekly, because we respect everybody, don't we?
Totally.
And move on to next item on the agenda, which happens to be GP3, also known as GP3. Interesting, they are trying to get a race slot in Monte Carlo, also as a support race to F1. Big Brother GP2 already race in Monaco on the F1 weekend, and so does the World Series by Renault. And Mr. Pastor Maldonado has been very successful in Monaco and GP2 and World Series by Renault. Okay, you talked about the Indian Racing League. This is the IRL Tony George. Indian Racing League will feature I1 Super Series. It will use, you know, I don't know if you remember, but I think it was late 80s or early 90s, they had started a series here called American City Racing Leagues. They had Team San Jose, this and that, so it's pretty much like that. They will use radical sports cars, and teams are named after Indian cities. Now, if you had a chance, would you race for Team Calcutta or Team Cochin?
I'm a Calcutta kind of a guy.
Really?
Yes, my roots deeply woven around Calcutta.
Well, that's very good. Oh, Calcutta and oh, Clark Rogers. Okay, season starts next month, and they have a very nice website. First race is at Sepang, home of the Malassi Grand Prix, and each car will have 2 drivers. Each team will have 1 homeboy as a driver. First preseason test took place at Yas Marina earlier this week, and Hans-Harald Frentzen was the pace setter. Other F1-related drivers in the series are Fisichella, Liuzzi, Salo, and Alesi, who will find new motivation the moment he bites into mango chutney. And he's going to say, what is this? And they're going to tell him, this is quiche Bombay.
Do you think they have special facilities for all these old drivers, you know, because of their geriatric needs and demands?
No, you know, once a racer, always a racer. What is interesting, what they are doing is a lot of Indian, you know, cricket players and movie stars are getting involved in this. Apparently, there's a lot of money in India now. Good for them. And they're going to, you know, have like Mika Salo with Rajinder Kapoor or whatever. I was looking at the names, and we wish everybody all the best. I mean, the time difference between a Heinz Harald Frentzen and an Indian who does not have a lot of racing experience is going to be tremendous.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is, where is Nahreen Karthikeyan?
He is not there. But they have other drivers also.
And Karun Shanduk.
Yeah. Well, these are Formula One drivers, so they won't be going there.
You know, I used to be known as the Count of Calcutta.
Who?
Back in the day.
Oh, really?
Hell wow. Yeah.
Fantastic.
When I was...
It's the deeply woven roots.
Well, that's when I was importing and exporting...
Bengal fish. Or maybe Bengal tigers.
Exactly.
I'm sure you know Calcutta is in the province of Bengal. You know that, right?
You've been there. I'm a professional.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know, it was the first city in the world to have a Charlie Chaplin statue. I kid you not.
Charlot was really big over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Matthias Lauda and Neil Jani are also among the drivers. Jani's Papito is from Gujarat, where Kem Cho means how are you. So if you want to impress Neil Jani, just say, Kem Cho, Neil, and he will, you know, get you a Swiss fondue.
I just say bravo, bravo, bravo.
I'm sure he speaks that too. Okay, now we go to, this is of something close to you, your favorite series anyway, Lynette Carr. AJ Allmendinger from Morgan Hill, Northern California, which, how far is it from here where we are sitting in the palatial studio? 30 miles? 50 kilometers?
We are here.
Okay, cool. So he's a local boy, and he is the big beneficiary of Kurt Busch being told to get out of Dodge by Captain and Tennille. I think it's more like Captain and Sharon, as far as Roger's wife is concerned. Anyway, Allmendinger, who went to same school in San Jose as Clark Rogers, which we found out when we interviewed him. I don't know if you remember that.
That's the younger Clark Rogers, my son.
Really?
Yeah, the older Clark Rogers, you know, he went to
Sorbonne. He went to University of Dijon-Prenois.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir. Used to race in, Allmendinger used to race in Champ cars, and according to a tale he told me in the friendly skies on board a United Airlines flight, I ran into him once. I was flying to Indy, and it was through Denver, and he was at that time living in Denver. He was the first winner of the Red Bull driver search in America, but Scott Speed got the ride, a little typo there, as he did not want to live and race in Europe. He's a very good talent, you know. When he got that ride that in the player's car,
he did great in open wheel, and
he was cleaning Bordeaux, Longines very well, if you recall. This is a great opportunity to be a part of Penske Racing, because if you do well, they take care of you, just ask Rick Mears. But if you create problems or make waves, you sink fast. Just ask Kevin Cogan and Paul Tracy, respectively. Kurt Busch apparently is not taking calls right now regarding his departure from Penske Racing. Okay, now you know it's most of the racing series is over. Championships are over. So it's a slow day here. And we don't fabricate news. You know what I'm saying?
And when it's slow, we actually dress casually.
Very true.
In the palatial studio.
Yeah, you can wear a pink tie on during the off season.
Exactly. We're a little looser here.
Yeah, yeah. With his bathrobe.
There you go. And so what I thought, you know, is maybe look at winningest drivers in the history of Formula One. It's some nice tidbit people will enjoy, hopefully. So maybe may I proceed with your express written consent?
By all means.
Thank you, sir. So this is a numbers game. Of course, leading by a wide margin is Michael Schumacher, with 91 victories stretching from Spa 1992 to Shanghai 2006. I am told the fortune cookie that evening said, "You come back soon." And here we have him back. All victories coming with only two teams, Benetton in 1994 and 95. Both years he won the championship. And, of course, Ferrari from 1996 to 2006. And, of course, you know, I said 1994, 95. Those were the championship years. He won a race in 93 also.
With Flavio.
Yes, sir. And traction control, according to yours, for Verstappen. But that has been reported many times, and I don't want to get into the politics of these things. Third on the... second. Oh, need to correct my math here. See, this is what happens when you don't bring your abacus.
And you were trying to skip the French guy.
Yeah, no, I would never do that. Second on the all-time list is the Professor Alain Prost. 51 victories, maiden win came at Dijon-Prenois in 1981 with Renault Turbo, and final victory in Germania 1993 with Williams Renault, with whom he was fourth and final championship. First three were with McLaren. And this his first victory at Dijon-Prenois, actually this was a race run in two heats. I think it was red flag because of rain, and on an aggregate he won over Nelson Piquet, who had the race won when it was going on the first time around. But that's his first win. Third on the list is the late Ayrton Senna. First victory came in heavy rainfall and splendid drive in Portugal in 1985 with Lotus. Final victory was his final race with McLaren in the 1993 Australian Grand Prix. Arnaud is the most successful British driver in terms of race wins and fourth on the all-time list with 31 victories. This is very impressive considering how long it took for him to get his first win. Like his great rival Senna, scored his last win in Australia, ironically driving the car Senna would have driven if Imola was not on the calendar in 1994. Mansell waited a long time for his first win, which came on home soil in 1985 at Brands Hatch, the European Grand Prix, and from then on he was on fire. Number five, and sure to add more, amazing, this is really amazing but true, Fernando Alonso. The man from Oviedo, the single man from Oviedo, has same number of wins as Jackie Stewart. This is very, very impressive because I remember when Stewart broke Jim Clark's record and went on to score 27 victories, 1973. Wow, it was nobody's going to beat that. And for a guy who just started in 2001 to be there, it's very impressive. Victory numero uno was at Hungaroring in 2003. Won a race last year at Silverstone for Ferrari on the 60th anniversary of their first win, courtesy of Jose Froline Gonzalez. Jackie Stewart's first victory came at Monza in 1965, driving a BRM. And here, just a personal thought. You know, the very first calendar I did for 2006, I believe it was, there was a picture I used from LAT Photos of England. It's in Parabolica. And in that group, at that time leading, it's a black and white picture. I think it's Jim Clark leading, and in the group is also Dan Gurney, Graham Hill, and somewhere Jackie Stewart. That picture, you can probably see it on the Sutton Images website. It's sutton-images.com. It's one of the most beautiful pictures I have ever seen in any form of motor racing book magazine ever. Okay, final victory was German Grand Prix at the classic 14.2-mile-long Nürburgring over Tyrrell teammate François Sever, and that was, of course, in his final year when he won the championship, 1973. Next on the list is Jim Clark, man who drove for only one team, Lotus. First victory, Spa, 1962. Final win, South Africa on New Year's Day, 1968. Also won Indy 500 and a stock car race in America. That's car racing talent. Austrian super rat Niki Lauda also scored 25 Grand Prix wins, first with Ferrari at Jarama, the 1974 Spanish Grand Prix, and this day I remember very well because I was rooting for him and Ferrari, and to recall this with a lot of good memories. Final victory came at Sanford in 1985 with McLaren, and this race, this was my first year in the US, and I watched this race live on TV, few inches sitting from TV early morning, and he held off Mr. Alain Prost throughout the race.
First year in America, huh, Nasser?
1985, yes, sir.
That was a hot dog year.
It was just a good year. Finally made it here. Okay, and still is a good year. Very happy to be here. Juan Manuel Fangio is ninth on the all-time win list with 24 wins from 51 starts. Actually, if you look at start, it says 52 races, but there were apparently 51 starts. First taste of victory came in Monte Carlo in 1950 with Alfa Romeo. Final win was his best and one of the greatest in the history of Formula Uno. Nürburgring 1957 in a beautiful Maserati 250F. which was also the final win for this Gioacchino Colombo design machine from Modena. And Signor Colombo is one of the famous designers of Formula One era. That man from Rio, Nelson Piquet Soto-Meyer, and here's a guy whose career I followed since he was in Formula 3, and as a racing fan, I was very excited about his racing life, and you know he did well. He completes the top 10 with 23 victories. First victory in the streets of Long Beach in 1980 for Bernie Ecclestone-owned Brabham team. Final win in a Benetton, courtesy of Mansell waving to the crowd in Canada, 1991. Number 11 is Damon Hill with 22 victories, all but final victory with Williams. Starting in Hungary in 1993, his final victory was the first ever win for Jordan in the rain at Spa 1998. I believe you were at that race. And what happened in that race that will live in infamy?
A lot of things. Schumacher, David Coulthard.
Yeah.
Which developed into a loving relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting there. And, you know, Damon Hill almost won the first and only race for Arrows, but it was not to be. I was watching that race.
That was a mechanical failure.
Yeah, that was very sad. I was watching that live. Finally, the top dozen is completed by a man who is only 6 wins behind Alonso, despite completing, I believe, only 4 seasons in Formula One. May very well be in the top 5 this time next year. Finger licking good with 21 victories, and you may ask yourself, who is this man?
My name is Sebastian Vettel, and it is pronounced Sebastian Vettel. My friends call me Vettel. The worst pronunciation I ever heard was Sebastian Vettel.
And now we continue our service with some historical moments from 60 years of autosport, sponsored by the National Health Service and Dr. Mark Farrington of UK. Their prescription for a happy life is a daily dose of Formula One. And that has kept me very happy for the last, since 1973. Never a dull moment. And, you know, last week we covered 50s and 60s. And today we were going to cover the 70s and the 80s. But there was so much happening in the 70s that we ran out of time. So we'll just do the 70s. And next week we're going to do the 80s. And then we'll come to the 90s. We keep moving, you know. Are we going to take a break this year?
No, we don't need to take a break because F1 Weekly is here to entertain our people.
Yeah, and edumacate about motor racing.
Edumacate and everything else.
Yes, sir. Okay, so 1970 was a tragic year for motor racing. Bruce McLaren was killed at Goodwood while testing his Can-Am car. Frank Williams' buddy Pierce Courage was killed in a fiery accident at Zandvoort. And Jochen Rindt became F1 posthumous world champion. He was killed in practice at Monza. His relationship and argument with Colin Chapman on that Saturday is a story for another day. You know, I was a couple of things here, you know. Pierce Courage, apparently, when he was young, and so was Frank Williams, apparently they were running around goofing off and partying. And next morning, Frank Williams gets a call from Pierce Courage. You know, he came from the Courage Brewing family. His dad called Frank Williams asking, hey, do you know where my son is? So he made up a story for him. And this thing about Jochen Rindt and Colin Chapman, on that Saturday, you know, they were trying this car without the wings and this and that. And the cars were going so fast and being unstable that Jochen was insisting that he wants to drive the older car, the 49. And this is from an interview with his widow, Nina. And I believe their daughter works for Formula One management. And I think both of them live in England. It will be something to go and have a, you know, chat with her and do an interview. But anyway, she said in this interview that Jochen really did not want to drive that car, the 72, wedge shaped. And he told Chapman, I'm not going to drive this car. So Chapman told him, if you don't drive this car, you won't race in the Italian Grand Prix. And we know what happened. And 1970 was also Porsche winning for the first time, first of many times, at Le Mans. 1971, tragedy continues. Pedro Rodriguez is killed at Nürburgring in Germany after crashing his Ferrari. Dr. Helmut Marko, you know who that is, and Hees van Lennep win Le Mans at a record speed of over 138 miles per hour. 9th and final victory for Alfa Romeo in the Targa Florio race in Sicily, with local legend and law professor Nino Vaccarella and Dutchman Toine Hazeman at the wheel. And Nino Vaccarella is a name who was a pretty big name in sports car racing when I started following motorsport, and it is my very deep desire to go and talk to him in Sicilia before one of us kicks the Coleman. So we'll see what time and destiny will bring. 1972, Emerson Fittipaldi becomes the youngest and first Brazilian world champion with Lotus. Henu Mikola from Finlandia. And I've mentioned to you this many times, my motorsports interest started with rallying, and then I discovered Formula One. Henu Mikola from Finlandia is the first European to win the East African Safari Rally in a Ford Escort. Here's another event. I really would love to attend one of these. Now they call it the Safari Rally. When I started in the early 70s, East African Safari used to go from Kenya to Tanzania and Uganda and back to Nairobi. It was quite an event. Now it's just within Kenya, but still a great event. 1973, Roger Williamson killed at Zandvoort and Francois Sever at Watkins Glen in F1. The final Targa Florio won by Porsche, driven by Van Lennep and Swiss driver Herbert Müller. Müller was later killed at the Nürburgring after crashing into the stationary car of Bobby Rahal during a sports car race. And this was an amazing accident. Bobby Rahal car quits, he parks on the side of the track, and you know how long that track is. And then some guy is coming, and he is like kind of trying to avoid this car. He brakes, and his car starts spinning. And the third car is Herbert Müller's car, and he tries to, you know, avoid the car, and he spins out of control, crashes into Rahal's car, big ball of fire, and he was killed, unfortunately. 1974, Matra and Henri Pescarola win Le Mans 3 years in a row. First WRC win for the Bertone design Ferrari engine Lancia Stratos in San Remo Rally. Sandro Minardi was the driver. And you know, as I was doing this thing, at F1 Weekly, we have to do everything on our own, research, typing, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the staff is on vacation, Nasser.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. So anyway, it dawned on me that there are so many names here who have played such an important part in motorsports history, and we have done interviews with a lot of them, even with Gilles Van Lennep. Remember we ran into him?
Meeting Gilles Van Lennep was wonderful.
Yeah, and at Laguna Seca, of all the places, and we didn't even know he was there. Sandro Minardi we have spoken to, so it's very good. Okay, we move on to 1975. Graham Hill and his driver Tony Brice killed in plane crash. Niki Lauda is first Ferrari world champion since John Surtees, 1964, that would be. 1976, Lauda survives fiery accident at the Nürburgring that kills F1 racing at the 14.2-mile-long circuit. Remember some years ago, I think it was, the bearded guy, Nick Heidfeld drove a BMW F1 car. That was pretty interesting. Lauda's friend and rival James Hunt wins title in season finale in heavy rain in Japan. And that race was won by Mario Andretti, which was his first F1 win since maiden win in South Africa in 1971. 1977, Tom Price from Wales and a family friend of Dave Richards of Pro Drive was killed in a bizarre accident at Kyalami during the South African Grand Prix. AJ Foyt from Houston, Texas becomes the first four-time winner of the Indy 500. 1978, Triumph and Tragedy at Monza. Mario wins the championship while teammate Ronnie Peterson dies of injuries from accident on the opening lap of the race. Mario and Gilles Villeneuve were first and second in the race but were given penalties for jumping the start. Winner was Lauda in his Brabham Alpha. Renault wins Le Mans with Didier Pironi and Jean-Pierre Jousseau. Good for them. 1979, first Grand Prix win for Team Willy. Frank Williams and Patrick Head celebrate maiden win on home soil at Silverstone. And this was a race there. You know, in the old days, the British Grand Prix, when it was on at Silverstone, it used to alternate between Silverstone and Brands Hatch. Silverstone used to be on Saturday, and BBC used to have a sports program. So I remember listening to this live. And the Brands Hatch race used to be on Sundays. Okay, Jody Scheckter becomes first South African world champion with Ferrari. Highlight of the 1979 season, I'll be shocked if anybody would disagree on this, was the historic win for turbo-powered Renault and first Grand Prix win for Jean-Pierre Jabouille at Dijon-Prenois. Sad but true, Jacques Lafitte's brother-in-law did not even get the glory, not even to this day, as the events behind him for second place is forever part of Formula One folklore. It's incredible.
He's off. He's back again.
That is just a beauty to watch anytime, anywhere. And just a couple of things, you know, on driver signings. It's interesting how things are going. You know, this guy, Charles Pic, was announced in Formula One. His brother, Arthur, is going to race in World Series by Renault. And there's a lady from Colombia, Miss Tatiana Calderon, whom we interviewed a few years ago. She raced here in Star Mazda. Next year, she is planning to do for F3, what is called now European Formula 3 Open Championship, which is a fancy name for the Spanish F3. And then Mike Conway is going to drive for AJ Foyt in the IndyCar series. So we wish all the drivers, and also Mr. Jason Richards passed away from cancer. He was a driver in Australian Viet series, so very sad. I think he was only like 30, 34 years old. So there you have it, sir, the latest from the world of motor racing, some good, some bad, but it's all a part of life.
Nass, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We're going to go right into the wrap-up. San Francisco Formula One Group, sff1.com. They get together, they drink, eat, and have a great time. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2012 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. We did get a really nice email, and it was so nice and loving that I'm going to read this email, Nasser.
Did you write it yourself?
Well, it almost seems that way, but keep up the good work. This is from Clay Cross in Sydney, Australia. He says, I've been a listener for some time now, and I just wanted to thank all of you for the time, effort, research, and energy you put into the podcast. I hope you and your understanding family have a great Christmas and a prosperous new year. Keep up the good work. Regards, Clay Cross.
Well, my thanks to Clay, and I appreciate him using the word, among other things, research, because, you know, these things take a lot of time, and I do like quality and accuracy, and we're only human, so we make mistakes here, but we have people around the world on standby to correct us, but all these things, you know, it does take a lot of energy to verify, you know. Because so much you can remember, you know.
No, and it's nice to get, you know, a thank you every once in a while.
A positive sling and arrow.
Yeah, I agree.
We appreciate that.
Once again, thanks a lot, Clay. We do appreciate it. We want to mention our Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and Google+. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website, we are right now looking for a sponsor for Motorsports Mondial. It's your big chance. It's a great show. It's in the middle of a great podcast. And we're talking bargain basement prices. So, yes, send me an email, info@f1weekly.com, and let's talk. Of course, we must get to the calendar.
Yes, sir. Today we're going to talk about the back cover, which is another one and only. Hopefully it will change in the future because I think he has some years left in his racing life. And we're talking about Heikki Kovalainen. Nice guy, finished first. And, of course, do you remember where his first victory was? Hungary. And he sends a thank you note every year to Felipe Massa. It was Felipe Massa's race, and he had an engine kablam a few laps to go, and Heikki Kovalainen.
A win is a win.
A win is a win. And I'll never forget, as he was on the cool-down lap, Ron Dennis came on the radio and says, "Welcome to the world of winning." And Heikki is waiting to hear that from Tony Fernandez. And
but you know what? I think Heikki Kovalainen has done a great job over at, is it Team Lotus?
Yeah.
Or it's Caterham now.
Caterham, yeah. But now, you know, I've been hearing some, and I know some people in the IndyCar world, I got a news bite that Petrov is looking for IndyCars, and it was in the news then, and now I'm hearing that, you know, his feisty, you know, the babushka, whoever she is, she's trying to place him at Caterham and Cake Trulli. A lot of people are looking for Trulli's neck, let me tell you that.
I say Caterham, you say Caterham, or vice versa?
I said Caterham.
I know.
You said Citroën.
I did say Citroën. But no, I read the same thing about Petrov maybe moving over there. He does bring a lot of money.
Yeah, and also there's all on the web now that this is sad that Bruno Senna may be looking at NASCAR.
That's really sad. But you never know. He could also sign as a reserve driver at Renault. So let's not just jump to conclusions here. It's very possible.
You know, talking of Renault and this and that, this morning I was driving to work and I said, you know, how lucky it is for both Romain Grosjean to get a second chance, which is almost, it's hard to get a first chance in Formula One, talk about a second, and also Nico Hülkenberg, but both are now, they've done a great job in other Formula One, anything and everything they could, but if Romain Grosjean cannot do to a returning retiree, AARP member Kimi Raikkonen, what Nico Rosberg has done to Michael Schumacher, it's going to be over for Romain Grosjean.
I agree, but I hate to say it. I believe Raikkonen still will be fast.
Raikkonen is a supernatural talent. Maybe it will take some time, but I don't think Romain Grosjean is going to rain on his finish parade. You know, this guy has his own agenda. And the other thing is Nico Hülkenberg. He really has to rattle the cage of Paul Di Resta. Otherwise, it's going to be over.
That's going to be a tough fight to watch. I'm going to enjoy every minute of it now, sir.
Me too, sir.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and good night.
Bye now.
Good night.